This is OSLCC Chapter 25, Tracing Our Roots, celebrating 25 years of cultural centers. Broncos, some near, some far, but no matter where you are, we're speaking to you and we hope you're listening. And you never know, we might even be engaging with you real soon.
Hello, welcome to this episode, the History of the Diversity Ambassador Program. My name is Lakeisha Beard. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm the Interim Associate Director for the Office of Student Life and Cultural Centers. And I'm excited about the guest I have with me today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Thank you so much for having me here today. I am Marcus Beard. I am Senior Pastor of Revelation Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California. I am a Cal Poly Pomona alum. I am also a former member of the Cal Poly Pomona Black Faculty and Staff Association, and I am a charter member of the Diversity Ambassador Program, formerly known as the Cal Poly Trip to the South.
Great. Welcome, Marcus. So excited to have you. So the Diversity Ambassador Program is a staple on campus. It's a really integral part of the work of the African American Student Center. When did the program start?
It started in the year of 1998-1999. The first year was March of 1999.
Wow. So the program has been on campus for a long time. Can you share with us some of the conversations and thoughts that went into the development of the program?
Yes, I'm very excited that this program is still going. It is definitely one of the highlights of my undergraduate career at Cal Poly Pomona, along with right after meeting my wife at Cal Poly Pomona. This has been a highlight. The trip to the South actually started with a conversation between some math science students at some African-American math science students at Cal Poly Pomona and Dr. Ed Walton. And they wanted to provide opportunities for African-Americans students to go and visit Tuskegee University and really, really study the influence of African-Americans in science. These students basically took this idea with Ed Walton to Katrina Hammonds, who was then, it was her first year as the African-American Student Center Coordinator. They all met, and when they came and left that meeting, they decided to kind of expand the trip from just a math science focus to really looking at the civil rights movement and also going into the historically Black colleges and trying to provide an opportunity for students to go there and do some type of exchange program for Cal Poly students.
Cool. So the trip has really evolved quite a bit from what it started as. Can you talk about some of the like campus climate issues maybe that also influenced the creation of the trip?
Yes. That's a wonderful question. We suffered for as Black people just being on campus. African-American, the population of students was very low. The retention of the students that were there were low. Cal Poly wasn't really a place where you can really say that supported Black people at the time, really. We had the student centers, but at that time we saw a lot of budget cuts and things like that. And some of the first places that we saw as students were those support services like the African American Student Center. So this provided an opportunity for students to really learn about themselves, right? What I liked about the program is that from the first year, it was supported. So it was supported by the student affairs. We had the former African-American Vice President of Student Affairs. What is his name?
James Bell.
James Bell. He had an internship and that actually really, really supported it. We had people like Fred and Bonnie Henderson, who were former Cal Poly Pomona Black Faculty and Staff members, who really connected us with all the Atlanta places, the schools, and because they had a daughter there. So we saw the support of the Cal Poly community for this program. And I really liked it because while we included people of other races and ethnicities, when it first started, we made sure that there were a lot of Black people, African American students, because it was needed, and people spoke of it like that's what kept them at Cal Poly. People still say these are memorable trips that they've been on. So I think that it really, really showed the support, and I think that I hope that it still has that type of support around campus, because it really showed that Cal Poly Pomona supported the Black community.
Cool. So as a charter member, obviously you went on the first trip. Can you kind of talk to us about that experience, where you went, what you saw, like maybe your most memorable moment actually from the trip?
Yes. So I kind of just fell into the trip because I was a student assistant at the African American Student Center. So I was tasked with all of the logistical works, setting up reservations, hotels, flights, museums, and all of those things. So at that time, we didn't have GPS, so it was even printing MapQuest maps. So I was in charge of all of that logistical stuff. So I had the opportunity to kind of see the pre-planning and then to actually go and visit these places. And I would say one of the most memorable, and it happened the first year and also the second year, it was the Kelly Ingram Park across in Birmingham, Alabama, across from the what is the Civil Rights Museum. Mm-hmm. We were going on the walk, and it's a self-tour. And a transient, a homeless man came and approached us, and he gave us like so much history of that park. And like I said, that it was so impactful that we were looking and we were hoping that we would connect with him the next year. And we were able to do it, and he was able to give another group of students that opportunity. So I think that, and then also meeting Miss Joanne for the Voter Rights Museum in Selma, and walking on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, those were just things that like it made history come to life to me, and it also allowed me to see as an individual that history is not so far behind. Right. Sometimes you can think that it's hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and it's not. These people are still living that were there during that time.
Cool. So we often hear like about all the good things connected to the trip, like how it's so impactful, and those things are important. But can you talk to us about maybe some of the challenges and obstacles? As a former coordinator at African American Student Center, I like one of the obstacles that we faced was funding. Like as we started to expand the program and want to take more students, like we just really couldn't afford to, and it became like a bigger burden on students. But in the early days, I imagine funding was some of it, but were there other like obstacles that came in that like hindered the progress of this?
Well, I would say that Definitely, as we wanted to expand with more chaperones, more faculty members, I believe it was like six of us on the first trip, right? And then the next year, I think we went up to maybe like 10 or 11. We had to do fundraising. So I would just say setting up that part of how do we select these students, going into that second year, because there wasn't an application thing for the first year process, right?
So how did you all pick who went the first year?
It was just based off of those students that kind of created created it, and I fell into it because I was a student assistant, and then we had another guy named Tunde, and I think that we wanted him to bring that connection with the historically Black colleges or something. So it was just hand-selected people, right? So it was determining the criteria, application, when do we need the application, and then really coming up with how much is this going to cost with more people. So all of that logistical piece. But then there were things, you know, even with traveling with more people, people, you know, not having everything that they needed, getting to places and being, you know, one of the places we went to the Rosa Parks Museum. It was open by one of the schools out there,
Detroit, in Montgomery. University.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we were like really excited about this, going to this thing, and it wasn't the experience that we expected, mm-hmm. right? Because you know, there were people that were totally disconnected from the Black community, mm-hmm. and they didn't really speak with the passion that we were used to. So I was trying to figure out where do we go, and where wouldn't we go, right? So those were the things, and then dealing with the interpersonal conflicts while on the trip, right? I think I've been on the trip like 7 times, but like different people show up on those trips than like that submitted the application or that were in the class before, right? And even the first trip, we had just a lot of people going through their own issues, their own personal issues that impacted the trip, where we actually were almost going to cut the trip in half and come back early for that first trip, just because some people had some really deep personal issues. So dealing with those things, and then also the logistical pieces of, you know, getting directions mixed up, or, you know, getting lost or being late to the appointment or things like that.
Yeah, as a former coordinator of the African American Student Center, that definitely, the Diversity Ambassador Program is like really, it was one of my favorite things to do. And there are, it's like a lot of moving parts, right? And so I remember, I think the first year that I started the center, you actually came on the trip with us, mm-hmm. and we were driving these students all throughout the South. The second year that I was at the center, I think we took the largest group that has ever gone on the trip. We took 25 students. Wow. And that was hard to like navigate with 25 students, but I was happy to be able to do that. And even the driving, like, people don't understand that literally we would fly in and then drive, right?
Yes.
Throughout the South. And so my last year at the center, actually, we finally, what was that, like maybe in 2014? Yeah, 2014, we were able to get buses. So now the trip uses buses. But from 1999 to 2014, like, that's a long stretch of like people having to drive.
Yes. And I remember there was one year where I actually, because there was an interim African-American mm-hmm. student center coordinator, and I worked in housing at the time, and I actually had to coordinate mm-hmm. the trip. So though I'm glad I had the previous logistical experience, but to actually coordinate the trip and then be responsible. And I believe that was the year that James Bell actually came as well on the trip. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there from sometimes we got lost and but I tell you, that was one of the best experiences at Cal Poly. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most memorable experiences, just going on those trips each time. Mm-hmm. You just have a different experience and you learn more. With Dr. Humber, yeah. Joining. That second year, Dr. Humber came and brought just another element to it. I mean, we were lighting candles, yep. you know, at the MLK Memorial, quoting, writing poems, singing songs, and, you know, it was just great to just see how it has evolved.
Mm. Yeah. So thinking about the Diversity Ambassador Program and the Cultural Center legacy, right? So we're doing these podcasts because this is the 25th anniversary of the Cultural Centers. Can you talk about maybe like the connection between the Diversity Ambassador Program and the legacy of the Cultural Centers?
Yes. Well, I don't think that the Diversity Ambassador Program, and it was initially called the Civil Rights Trip to the South. Mm-hmm. Actually, Trip to the South, then the next year, Civil Rights Trip to the South, so it kind of evolved. But I don't think it would have gained any momentum after that, with that conversation with the students and Dr. Walton, had they not partnered with Katrina, mm-hmm. Because she brought another element of resources and even visibility, right? Mm-hmm. So I see the Diversity Ambassador Program as, we actually wanted, I think about year three, we wanted to see every one of the cultural centers create their own type mm-hmm. of trip, mm-hmm. right? To find, you know, their history around the United States and and be able to explore that and then be able to bring other people along. And so to me, I think that the Diversity Ambassador Program is kind of like a baby of the African American Student Center, right? And because that's where it started. Literally, we would have all the classes there, all of our meetings there, all of the fundraisers came out of there. Everything came out of the African American Student Center initially for this program. And a lot of funding from the African American Student Center came from this. So I think that that this is something that that we can say was kind of birthed from the African American Student Center.
I agree. Even when I came to the center, like in 2006, I think it had evolved when I got there to Diversity Ambassadors Trip to the South. And so during my time, I think we ended up dropping Trip to the South and started just going with Diversity Ambassadors because we ended up visiting other places. So one year we did an Underground Railroad trip where we went like to Illinois and Kentucky. And now, because we can't travel to the South, all those states are banned in California, the trip really goes to the East Coast. So now it's like Trip to the East. Mm-hmm. but I think you're right. Had it not been rooted in something, like if it was just like Trip to the South, when all those changes happened, it wouldn't have survived. But it has very deep roots in the center. And then with the Ethnic Women's Studies Department coming on board, mm-hmm. were you on campus when that happened?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you know how that happened?
Well, that happened with Dr. Humber initially.
Oh, okay.
So it happened with bringing her along board, mm-hmm. and then she really, really helped get the chair on board, mm-hmm. Where we got funding. Mm-hmm. A lot of the applicants that we were getting was from the school, you know, the mm-hmm. School of Education and all of that. So. And it kind of evolved. I don't know how much they're a part of it now, but I believe that Dr. Humber even created some type of like curriculum, or there was like extra credit for people in her class to go on it, or something like that to tie it in. Mm-hmm. And then it there was at some point some class credit for mm-hmm. For that.
Yeah, it still has class credit.
Okay.
So. The relationship now is that students get credit through EWS for being a part of the Diversity Ambassador program. And so, again, like that, you know, the work that we do in student affairs is important, but there's always, it's always important that we connect back to, like, academics. And so this is, like, a really good example of, like, student affairs and academic affairs working together to give students an experience.
Yes, and underrepresented students,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it was marketing. Like I remember several times going to different things, schools, and they want you to mention mm-hmm. that you have this program, mm-hmm. right? Because you want to recruit African American students. And I remember doing that. So it was and it was perfect because, like you said, you have that academic piece. Mm-hmm. You have Black faculty and staff with their support, mm-hmm. but then you have, you know, you have student affairs, mm-hmm. right, as a whole supporting it, cultural center. So it was really a collaborative effort around campus, and it really showed students that didn't always feel like that they were valued mm-hmm. and they were respected, that hey, we do respect you. We're supporting this program. We want you to learn about yourself, and we want to learn, you know, about your history.
So earlier you talked about like this trip really being like a retention point for some students. Can you talk a little bit more about like some of those stories that you heard, or like how the Diversity Ambassador Program really kept students, Black students at Cal Poly Pomona?
Yeah, the climate, I can tell you, I remember there was time I was sitting in a class and there was an article about someone speaking, you know, an African language. And I can't remember which language it was, but the teacher looked at me and was like, hey, do you know this? And I'm like, what is this happening, right? But that was the climate there, right? So you had students, I even had friends at the time that were there, and they were like, you know, I don't want to be here. You know, I'd rather, you know, go back home, go to a community college, and then they were able to experience this. And they're like, wow, you know, or they saw other people, and they're like, okay, next year I want to be a part mm-hmm. of this, right? And what was good about the trip at the time is that all those students that went on the trip, they had the opportunity And as the trip evolved, they had more opportunity after the trip to be a part of marketing the trip. We always did a follow-up. So you just didn't go on the trip, but you had a responsibility now for the next trip, right, to market it. So then now people are like, okay, now I have something to be here for, right? Mm-hmm. So I saw a lot of people say that, you know, had I not gone on it, that trip, I probably would have gone somewhere else or gotten a job or not been in school.
And that's really powerful, particularly when there's only 3% Black students like at Cal Poly Pomona, right? So it's important that we retain all of them and that we continue to market to other students coming in. So I'm not the coordinator anymore, as you know. What are some like words of wisdom or advice that you would give the coordinator regarding the trip or students or even the campus community? Like what are some things, some gems, some jewels that you have regarding the trip?
I think just for me, especially for being a charter member, I definitely see the value that this trip brings to all students. But I think that it brings an extra value to the African-American students who attend it. What I would suggest is that that there is an earnest effort to really ensure that that those students aren't forgotten about it. Like the African-American students, that the trip is not so open that now that population, I think, who's impacted by it the most, which is African American, where they're not really attending this trip. So, and I would say just let it continue to evolve. Right, there's so much more history around, you know, around the United States and even in the world that we can explore. So, I would say to research and expand it. Right, so that we can learn more about other aspects of our history.
Cool. And I'm going to do a quick plug right now because this is the 25th anniversary. And as an alum, what would you say to your fellow alumni regarding this trip or the cultural seminars? Like,
I would say just remember your history is not so far behind, right? Remember your history and what are we doing now? What are we fighting for? How are we fighting? What are the issues that we need to be involved with. But I would say, and you and I have talked about this, even exposing this trip to your own family, right? So I don't think it should just be something, other people who have gone on this trip have taken their family, right, on the trip. So I would say things like that, you know, are impactful.
I would encourage the past participants of the trip and any Cal Poly alum to really be a financial contributor and supporter of this trip. There are corporate programs out there that will match your giving to organizations. And I would suggest explore those opportunities so that we can ensure that this trip continues on for generations to come. I think that this is, like I said, it was one of my most memorable experiences. And I'm very proud to have gone on this trip and to have been one of the persons to really, really get this trip off and going. And I would love to see this continue. So your contributions are needed, alum. And we want you to make sure that you are giving to the cultural centers for programs like this.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your contribution to the center. Thank you for being part of the charter group that brought this idea to fruition. It has impacted several students. We've seen many like powerful student leaders come out of this trip. Like, students' lives have really been impacted and touched by this experience. So thank you for your work around that. Thank you for your commitment to the community. Are there any final words that you would like to add?
No, I would just like to thank you for this opportunity, and I would like to thank Cal Poly Pomona for just continuing to keep this legacy going.
Okay, so should we say bye?